Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody, this is Barbara speaking. And today we're in for a very exciting show. I'm personally very excited because we have a guest that can teach us a lot of things. I'm sure she can share a lot of things with us that many of us have not mastered. And that is two things, mainly how to stay young, and the second is how to stay in a healthy, happy relationship. And I'm pretty bad at the second part, that's for sure. So, I am looking forward to our guest tonight, and her name is Dr. Cecile Forte. And Cecile is an educator, an author, a motivational speaker, and the founder of the Institute of Women and Aging. And aren't we all interested in that, ladies? And she includes, amongst her field of expertise, women and the mental to emotional health issues facing women. That's also important for all of us. She has addressed thousands of women across the country, across the United States in that case, with her highly popular 10 Tips for Taming Tension. And yes, especially when you are a woman that is in full-time employment, you will feel that tension. When you're a mom of several kids at home, you feel that tension. When you do both jobs, well, you definitely feel the tension. So we will be listening in on that one. And she has a new book out, and that sounds really exciting, and that's called My Husband Made a Man Out of Me, and I Resent It. My Husband Made a Man Out of Me, and I Resent It. Well, I would resent it too. So please welcome Dr. Cecile Forte. Cecile, are you there?
I certainly am. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me on today. It is really a pleasure.
Thank you for being here. I'm really looking forward to this because you're talking about topics that I definitely want to learn more about. So, I mean, I am an expert on a lot of things, but not on man-women relationships. I mean, I'm an expert on how to fail them, that's for sure. So I hope that I will learn something from you that will move me forward in my relationships.
Well, I certainly hope I can teach you something, but I'll tell you what, I will tell you that life has a way of teaching us all the lessons that we need to learn. We just have to look for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned loads of lessons, but somehow they didn't stick, I think.
That's all right. That's a lesson that you can relearn, not a problem.
Oh, yes, I'm working on that one. So you're saying that Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Real Housewives, I think that's a very popular docu-soap that you have in the United States, they all have something in common. What is that?
They're all man-made women. And that sounds like, you know, an interesting statement at first, because most of us women think of ourselves as self-determined, and we are, and self-sufficient, and in a lot of ways we are. But even though our society frowns on ladylike and masculine or manly as descriptors of men and women and how they're supposed to react, the way in which we look at life in the United States of America, I can say, still has to do with the effect of a man and a woman either in a married relationship or the effect that they have one on the other in other kinds of relationships. And the point that I'm making here is to say that each of these women has made decisions about what they want to do in light of, maybe even because of, the man that is in their life. For example, Michelle Obama did not decide to be first lady, and I'm sure that the decision that was made that the president run for the presidency as Barack Obama, as he was, had much to do with a decision that they had to make jointly. And the role that she's taken on and the way that she has played out the first lady's role has all to do with her husband and his decision, of course, to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, yes?
No, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, it's interesting that we see that Hillary Clinton has come so far as to be our Secretary of State, has to run for office. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that she was reported as being really the inspiration for Bill to do his thing and to become president. And she had those kinds of goals for herself. And I think that she decided that she was going to go that right route, maybe because of some of the things that he did within their marriage, maybe not, but certainly that influence was there. And likewise, the name of the group, the Housewives of New York City, the Housewives of Atlanta, of Orange County, these are all women who are anything but housewives in the traditional sense. Many of them are man-made women in that they've gone out to do the things that they want to do and have gotten their husband's support. So this is really the century of the woman. The 21st century is the century of women. We know that by the employment statistics that more women are now employed in the workplace than men. It's
mm-hmm.
a very interesting time, especially for a boomer like me, who grew up at a time when women took a back seat and men were the leaders. And it's a very different life. And I was a little ahead of my time in some of the things that I did and some of the ways my relationship went with my husband, which is why this book is very meaningful to me, because it speaks to what the generation is doing today in terms of relationships, this present generation, and what it was like way back when.
Yeah, that's very interesting, I think. I was just listening yesterday on television that the German Telekom, Deutsche Telekom,
uh-huh.
They now have a quota. They want more women in management, in high management. And they have had statistics that only about 2 to 3% of the leaders of large corporations are women,
mm-hmm.
in Germany at least.
Wow.
And I think it is like that worldwide,
mm-hmm.
of the top leaders are women. So it's about time that that changes. Like you said, more women are working than men. So.
Yeah.
It definitely needs to change. We need to move up into management. But it sounds a little bit not only provocative, obviously your title sounds provocative and I love it, but what you said, they're man-made. Do you think that the men in our life make us into who we are, starting with our fathers, obviously, or that we make decisions ourselves and saying, okay, I'm going to adjust to the route that my family or my husband takes?
Well, I must tell you that you're right on both accounts, because if you talk about man-made women, nobody's left out of the conversation. You said so aptly that a woman can be influenced by a man like a father, her brother, her uncle. It's not just a matter of a romantic relationship, married relationship, or anything of that sort. It is the fact that the male presence is in every woman's life, and it can be her son. It can be the husband that she decides she's going to do certain things and try to make room in her life for him or have him make room in his life. It is a dynamic that's there, and nobody's left out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm, that is true. That is true. But it's still, isn't it that we are now, we females are now getting stronger. We are getting stronger in politics, as we can see in a lot of countries, in Germany, where I am at the moment. We have a female chancellor, the first time in history.
Yes.
So we are getting some strong leaders, also female leaders now worldwide, but it's very, very slow going. It's few and far between. I think that the 21st century definitely will be the century of the women. Isn't it maybe discouraging for men, because I think you said it sometime. You said something about strong women and gentlemen.
Yes.
And I've had this experience. The two really long-lasting relationships I had in my life were with gentlemen.
Yes.
I mean, they loved me to bits, and and I was a tough one in the relationship, and I must say I ended the relationship because I got a bit bored, but maybe I was much younger than I am today, you know, so maybe today I could handle it in a different, more intelligent way. But at the time, I couldn't. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that has challenges with that type of relationship.
Yes. The reason that I can talk so aptly about it is that I come from a long line of strong women, arrogant, know-it-all, self-sufficient, fervent, impassioned, speaks their mind. These were my aunts and my mother growing up. These were six women in my life who were incredibly strong. And they all were loved by gentle men. And they complained about these men. They found fault with them. They had all sorts of difficulties one way or the other, and public exhibition of their displeasure was something that we as kids saw all the time, the girls particularly in the family. And we were attracted to the same kind of men that they are. And the thing that was so telling in my family is that if the marriages lasted for a time, the man could take the heat in the kitchen. And he was not, the difference was he was not a weak man. He was not one that you could disrespect. But he was a man who was respectful of himself and of the woman, but he just did not have to wear his a Superman emblem on his chest. He knew who he was, and he loved the woman that he was with, and many of them had mothers that were the same way. So they became comfortable with a woman of that nature, and they were not put off by that. Their masculinity was not dependent upon their being the leader and the lady becoming the little woman. And so that was the man that I saw over and over again that was marrying into the family. All of the marriages were not successful. Some of them would last for a limited amount of time, and for whatever reason they would be cut off for lots of reasons. Like you say, a certain boredom, expectations of a man that he's supposed to be the leader, that he's supposed to take care of me, that he is supposed to earn all of the money, all of those kinds of things filtered into decisions to part. But those that stayed in a relationship that became loving and supportive, and a relationship that the woman could not do without. She was able to spread her wings, do the things that she wanted to do, have a say in the way her life was run, even talk about the family and the ways that she wanted things to be done, as to whether or not they were going to buy a home or not, as to whether or not they were going to have X number of children or not. She was taking, when I say man-made, I say that to say she was taking the role that is traditional to men, or has been, at least in the 20th century, and has been able to adapt it to her own needs. And in doing so, as the marriage progressed and the longer the years they were married, the sweeter the relationship became, because she recognized the freedom that she had. Mm-hmm. And that was the glorifying factor of the relationship. There was a wonderful freedom there. There was a sense of herself, and she could be herself and own who she was and not have to subjugate it. When I was in school as a boomer, we had many roles that we could play in the society. We could even go to college, and going to college was a big deal because I was born in 1945 and I was going to college in 1963. So by that time, we had the early 60s. The Beatles were just about to come on the scene. The whole revolution was changing for maybe the most fortunate generation of our time. And at that time, at point in time, I knew that I could go to college and I could be a nurse, I could be a social worker, I could be a teacher. But I wanted to be an architect. I didn't get to be an architect, but I was able to go into education and to find a place there. But that was what was expected of me. Now women don't have to do that any longer, and they have men supporting them to do other things. The housewives, again, you see so many of them that have their own businesses and their husbands support them. It's a different dynamic, and a wonderful dynamic. So the strong man, gentle woman relationship is something I'm very acquainted with. And in my own marriage, the first 10 years were bliss. The second two decades were trouble. because I wanted to declare myself, and I thought that my husband should make more money. I thought that he should take a superintendent's position instead of turning it down because he didn't like that job, but he preferred being a department head. All the things that I wanted to do, I wanted him to do. And the difference was this. I came along during the civil rights movement and during the women's movement. I was on fire to prove myself. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to compete with men, women, black, white. It didn't matter. And my husband, on the other hand, being white Anglo-Saxon Protestant from an upper middle class family, did not have the same urges. He didn't have anything to prove. And it took me all those years to truly and honestly respect who he was and why he was the way he was and what he wanted for me, which was what I wanted to be and become. He was there to do it.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, that's amazing. When I look back at my relationship, the two that I talked about when I was with a very gentle man that really loved me and looked up to me and that I had a great mental relationship with, I mean, we really could talk about anything and everything. with who I am today, I could have that relationship. Who I was in those days, I couldn't, you know, because I was always fighting it and I always wanted better and more and, yeah, everything had to go faster.
I understand. I was that woman too.
Yeah, but you stuck with it anyway. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You went through the times when the going is tough, you know, like in most relationships, you have phases when everything is smooth and you have phases when things are a little bit more difficult. And you obviously went through those phases and now you are, I think you've been married for 40 years, which is amazing in itself. You've been together. And that's, I mean, today looking back at all the relationships and at all the people that I coach and I talk with that have been divorced and all that, I can see where we fail. I can see where we give up. I've just counseled a relationship of some friends, and I'm so happy that they decided to stay together, but there was no communication for quite some time, and so everybody felt slighted, and everybody, you know, the two of them, they were pulling back from each other, and there was hardly any communication. It was a difficult time, but now it seems that they've pulled through, and I'm, you know, proud of them, but I'm also proud of me, because I couldn't have done that years ago, because I wasn't there, nowhere near it. So you did it. Great. I mean, that is fantastic. 40 years.
It does seem like a long, long time. And it was, there were rough points. And just as you said, relationships change over time. And you have periods. And those periods were there for sure. But we sailed through it, got through it day by day. And it was some rough weather at times, but we made it.
Yeah, it's very special. And I want our listeners to be aware of that. Whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're in a relationship or not. There will always be hard times in life, and there will always be good times. But when you are in a relationship, it is also your choice to pull through it. You can make that decision and help your partner also to see your point of view, communicate with each other. I mean, I know where I failed, definitely. I know where I have failed, for sure, because I've seen it so many times since in other people. And, I was very crazy lady when I was younger. That's for sure. So you've been together for 40 years. How has that changed you? How has that changed you? Or how has that made you into this man-made woman, and you say you regret it? You don't sound like you regret it.
Well, I have to tell you that over time, I was very impatient, very dogmatic, very speak my mind, take no prisoners kind of woman. And as I got older and began to realize that I was not, the things that I was not accomplishing them by myself. For example, I had an opportunity to go to Philadelphia to take a springboard position in education that would put me into a president's chair in 2-3 years. This job was an ideal job. It was a key position to take. And it was taking over while someone else was on sabbatical at one of the educational accreditation agencies in the Middle States area of the United States. And so I decided that I would do it. My son was 6 years old, and I simply said to my husband, I'm going to take this job, and I want you. He had just retired. My husband's a little older than me. He had just retired, and I said, I want you to early retirement. I want you to take care of David. I don't want anybody else to be taking care of him during that time. And we'll see each other on the weekends. I'll come home or you'll come to Philadelphia. Didn't work out quite that way. I was far more busy and had lots more to do. But he was willing to do that in order for me to have this springboard position. And I took the job, and I had an interview with a school that will remain nameless. And there was some controversy because they were looking for a female president, not for me and not for the good, but for other reasons, for political reasons. Mm-hmm. And I nearly got caught up in this situation where I would have been in a job where I would have been used. And the thing in my life that I did not want to be was used by anybody. And I was just so, on fire to do what I wanted to do and yet could not do it. And I finally had to leave the position. The sabbatical was over, and the gentleman came back who was in the position. And if I had stayed, I would have been able to go on to another job and then into a presidency, and I gave it up because I realized that I didn't want to be used by anyone, and I had to come home. And that's the beginning of appreciating my husband, because I called him on the phone, and I told him, come and pick me up. He was scheduled to pick me up the following weekend. I asked him to come a week early. And when he got there and got in the car and the conversations that we had before he got there, never once nor to this day did he ever say to me, you know, you're always going after things and you just had to go and you left me here with the six-year-old boy and all that goes with it to try to take care of him, and now you come back and you decide that you don't want to do it. Never.
Mm-hmm.
He simply comforted me and said, you made the right decision because you don't want to be used and you don't want to be in a position of regretting that you took the job, because then you'll never be satisfied that you got the job on your own merit. So
sounds like a wise man.
Yes. Not strong, not overbearing, not competitive, but wise and loving and gentle. And that made it very clear to me that I was in the right marriage.
That sounds really good. Isn't that what we all want, ladies? Yeah, I wish we would appreciate that when we have it. I mean, I had it twice and I didn't appreciate it at all. But like I said earlier, it is a long time ago and it was still in my wild days.
Well, you know, your wild days aren't there now. There's some gentle, wonderful man out there who can give you the same loving support, and that you're ready for.
That's great. That sounds really good. So if you're listening and you are that man, please give me a ring.
I love it.
So what influence did your parents, I mean, I don't know how your parents' relationship was, but what influence did that have on your relationship with your husband? Because normally, especially in the early years of our marriages, that usually has quite a strong relationship.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And my mother was one of those strong, outspoken women who married a gentleman. And so it was very familiar. So when I married my husband, although I would say many times, what did I marry him for? Why did I get into a marriage like this? If I had a husband who was more competitive, he would do more of this and that and the other. We could have more of this or that, or we could go here or there, or I wouldn't have to work so hard, which was a lie, because I would have worked hard no matter what because it was in me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was the kind of man who soothed my mother, and if whatever she wanted, he wanted. He adored her. And he treated her that way. So it was familiar to me, and I wasn't even aware that I was marrying the same kind of man as my father. I didn't really get it. You know, sometimes when you're younger and on fire for living your life and everything, you can't absorb everything. You don't see clearly. It's only if you have the chance and you get older and you have a little more experience that you could see it. And as I was writing the book And it came at that time, and this is going back 10 months ago when I started to put things on paper. I didn't realize until I began to write about my parents just how much I was influenced by them, how much I am my mother's daughter, and how much it's true that I married my father.
Mm.
So.
That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, especially because I remember when I was, you know, in my teens, late teens, I was very rebellious, and I always said, I don't want to be like my parents. And today, looking back, I must say that I've turned out quite a bit like my parents. I mean, like both, I've got parts of both of them, but it's amazing. I never, ever thought that that could happen, you know, and I didn't realize until just recently my mother passed away, and it was a time of reflection and time of thinking about life, and I realized, yeah, I'm very much like her in many aspects.
Yeah.
Much more than I realized before. So that's something to reflect on. We're almost running out of time. We've only got 4 minutes left. I mean, time always flies when you're in an interesting conversation. So I would like you to please share a website or let our listeners know where they can get the book and how they can get in contact with you.
They can contact me at Cecile Forte, that's CECILEFORTE, at live.com. I'd love to hear from them. They can go to Amazon. They can go to Borders. They can go to Barnes & Noble, and the book is available.
Great. And would you please give them the title of the book again?
My husband made a man out of me, and I resent it! Exclamation point. The subtitle is The Anatomy of the Man-Made Woman. It's a love story.
My husband made a man out of me.
And I resent it.
And I resent it, yeah. That's quite a title. I love it. Yeah, type of titles, it's, you know, they make it so interesting. I had a conversation with someone on Facebook yesterday when I posted it, when I posted the radio show with your book title, and one of the guys said, oh, that sounds like we should listen in maybe, you know, that sounds like an interesting topic I want to hear about.
You know, people don't know that it is a love story, and people don't know that the book is dedicated to my husband. Because it is not, and my husband's words are, it is not a hard-edged, male-bashing book, which it could easily be with that title. But it is the sentiment that I had, the misunderstood sentiment that I held toward my husband for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it was a love story all along.
Isn't that lovely? I love that. So I'm sure that life is a little bit easier for your husband now that you actually realize that you loved him all along.
Yes,
because I know I'm personally also a very strong-minded person, strong-minded woman, and life with me as a man, as a partner, is not easy. So if you're listening in and you're interested, it's not easy. It's challenging, but it's very interesting. Never boring.
That's right.
So we have just the last few seconds now. Cecile, do you want to give a message to the people? Do you want to give a message to the couples out there that they can take with them for their future?
Yes. Live and love each other in your homes, in your private places, and let the public side of life take care of itself.
That's a wonderful message. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Cecile.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
And I hope we will talk to each other soon again.
Me too.
Everybody, thanks for listening. And the Next to Be show is on Thursday at midday Eastern Standard Time. And it will be the fourth episode of the To Be book process. And I hope you will all join me for that. And the Next to Be radio show with a great interview is next Tuesday at the usual time. So I see you soon. Have a wonderful week. strong and love gently. This is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Show.